And my text is taken from Acts chapter 13, verses 26 to 39. And I want to speak with you on this subject, the Scriptures fulfilled. The Scriptures fulfilled. We have to remember that the Lord saved the Apostle Paul out of Judaism. In other words, the traditions of his fathers, which, as you just read in John 6, their habit was to take the Scriptures and apply it to themselves as Jews. And Paul, having been taught of Christ, now goes about to show that no, the Scriptures are not about the Jews, but they are about Christ. And two words that we find throughout Paul's preaching and that of all the apostles are the words promise and fulfilled. Promise, fulfilled. For someone to be trustworthy, that means that what they promise, they do. If a person keeps promising, but it's never fulfilled, then you begin to question whether or not they are trustworthy. Now, remember here in Acts 13, we're right in the middle of Paul's sermon. He was in a synagogue where the Scriptures were read. That is the Old Testament Scriptures. That's what they had available. And they were accustomed to hearing the voice of Moses. They'd go back and read it. And just as you read in John chapter 6, when they said, well, we have Moses, that's when Christ said, well, Moses will accuse you. He doesn't say that he will bless you. He will accuse you if you look to him for any kind of trust or fulfillment. It's not in Moses. It's not in Israel. It's in Christ. So Paul would take the Old Testament Scriptures, as we see him doing here in Acts 13 and the preceding verses, going back into the Old Testament, and seeing what God promised, but then also how he fulfilled what he promised. An example is in verses 22 and 23, and we have a pattern here of how we're to preach the scriptures. See, God had promised to raise up a seed to David. And it says there in verse 22, when he had removed him, that is Saul, that was the king that Israel wanted, but it wasn't the one through whom God would bring his seed. He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, and here's the word, which shall fulfill all my will.
When we wanted the matter to the two, you put up the young making the agreed, put up the number of Jesus, put him out of the property. The one many Adam Kyoksa EA, we are one of the soul, and then I had it for Musawi, and when I had it for me, I said, you're standing the dear and most of your room. I would be other Joma Mene Oyo, and all folks that God be here, a current Pumuyao. A man so, and I'm Chitra Umboni Nati. The result that we said, Mwana wa Jesse, muntu wapa mtima panga, amene atachita chifunyo changa chose.
Now here's where people go awry, because they read that and they think, aha, that means David must have had something in him that pleased God, because it says there, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And so they're thinking in terms of personal obedience. But guess what? That's not what it's about. We know better. David himself testified that there wasn't anything in his household that even resembled anything of pleasure to God, but that God had established an everlasting covenant with him. That was all his salvation. Here's where we need the eyes of the Spirit of the Lord, because when it says here, and this is God speaking, I have found David, the son of Jesse. Number one, it wasn't David finding God. He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse. So this is God setting his favor upon David to accomplish his will.
Mao uri akare fumu.
When the Lord says, a man after mine own heart. Whose heart? God's heart. So this is a way of describing how God set his heart upon David to accomplish his will. Not for anything in David, but for God's purpose alone. You see, that's how Scripture must be read and preached. And when the Lord says, which shall fulfill all my will, it's from the same perspective. This is not David, by personal obedience, doing what God says, but this is God, through David, fulfilling all his will through David, by raising him up as a king and giving him that seed which should come from him, which would be Christ. And that's confirmed in verse 23, isn't it? People, too often, they stop reading too soon. Keep reading. It says there that which shall fulfill all my will, and it says, of this man's seed, that is of David, hath God, and there's the word, according to his promise, raised up unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So this is not about David's heart being toward God. This is about God's heart being toward David. This is not about David fulfilling all of God's will. This is about God fulfilling his will through David's seed. This is not about God requiring David to fulfill a promise. No, this is about God fulfilling his own promise to David. And Paul goes on to preach then the connection between the Old Testament and Christ through John the Baptist. That's who he describes in verse 24. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, in verse 25, and as John, there's the word again, fulfilled his course. He said, "Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose." It's all about Christ. So here's a pattern for us as preachers that the Lord has raised up. We're not to preach about men. We're not to exalt men. And this is so vital. When we go back in the Old Testament, let's don't do a character study on David. When we study the life of John the Baptist, let's not focus on him. These were but servants of God that he raised up for one purpose, to bring his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, that Christ might be seen as the fulfillment of all of Scripture. It's about Christ. So while the short title of this message is "The Scriptures Fulfilled," the longer title is simply "Christ, the Fulfillment of All of Scripture." It's not about Israel. It's not about the church. It's not about end times. It's not about prophecies of signs of the time. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled all that was written of him. Fulfilled, period. It's past. Past tense. There are preachers today going around and holding crusades, preaching about parts of Scripture that still haven't been fulfilled, and that somehow Christ is going to rapture out the church at some point, and then he's going to pick up his program again with Israel, and that then, toward the end of time, during a period of 1,000 years, now there are these prophecies that are going to be fulfilled. People that preach that do so to their own destruction. People that believe it do so to their own destruction. Because I will tell you, there is nothing that is left as far as God is concerned and what He promised that He has not already accomplished in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people like to follow speculation. That's just in their nature. So, if a preacher can stand up and speculate, well, over here we've got this happening in Israel, over here we've got this happening in Russia, over here we've got this happening in the United States, and then they go to try to find scriptures where these things might apply, that piques people's curiosity. Natural-minded people, they're like, oh yeah, let's look at this. But that is false preaching. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you'd like to look there with me. He had purposed to come their way, but the Lord purposed otherwise. And so he was letting them know, don't think that I treat this with lightness, the fact that I purposed to come, but then the Lord purposed otherwise. He said, my purpose is that my word might always be yea, yea, and nay, nay. No gray area in between.
In 2 Corinthians chapter
1.
Verse.
We'll be reading from verse 17 down to verse 21.
All right. Kukula tu akorinto mudwa chiwe ambao ndima ka 17 mwete za 21 imene ama koroko zera poera kumena kuti kutenga wabu ino weniweni okudza mulungu suma sinza wose kuri pene uma vumerezeka pene uma chutsika pene uma nakula zina pene uma zisusa ai utenga wabu ino suma chutsana utenga wabu ino ngonu nchika suma sinza ai tau zose vumoti wakaba.
So here again we have an important pattern for us, not only as preachers, but as God's children, that our words and what we say be thought out by His grace. He said in verse 17, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? We're not just speaking just to speak, is what Paul said.
Now, You
see, the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? In other words, even in our preaching, we're not to do anything for self-glory. That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Let it be clear what we're about when people come hear us. It's not about us. It's not about the church. It's not about having a good time. It's not about being entertained. It's about Christ. And when people leave, that should be what is clear in their mind, that we are serious about Christ. We take nothing lightly in this matter of the worship of God. From beginning to end, whether it's the reading of the Word, whether it's the hymns, whether it's our fellowship with one another, whether it's in the preaching, it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice in verse 18, but as God is true, what is it that is God's purpose? What is it that honors Him? As God is true, our word toward you. Notice, it's singular, not words, but if there's one word that sums up our word toward you, just like I asked you last time, what's the one word that sums up all of Scripture? It's Christ. Let me ask you, what's the one word that sums up all of our preaching? If I was to go and ask your congregation, tell me in one word, what is the word of your preacher? Would they tell me Christ? Would it be yea, yea, and nay, nay? In other words, nay to anything but Christ, yea to everything that is Christ? Would that be how you will be known? If not, you're not preaching God's word. If you need some help staying on subject, then try putting the name or the phrase in Christ at the end of every sentence. That'll keep you on topic, wouldn't it?
Come again to that point.
If you need help staying on the subject of Christ, then end every sentence you say with in Christ. And if it doesn't fit, then don't say it. Let me give you an example. Go back up to verse 12. If I was preaching on verse 12, I'm not preaching about Paul. Paul said, for our rejoicing is this, put in there in Christ. The testimony of our conscience in Christ, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God in Christ, we have had our conversation in the world in Christ. And more abundantly, two you words, in Christ. You think you could preach Christ from that verse?
Yes, amen. Yes. Amen.
And I'm not inventing anything here. This is what the scriptures are about. That's what we're looking at. The scriptures fulfilled in Christ. Even down here in verse 18, when it says, but God, as God is true, true to who? True to His Son, Christ. You see, you can't even... There's preachers that will spend a whole message preaching on how God is true and never mention the name of Christ. Who is He true to? He is true to His Son. All that He has promised, He has fulfilled, and He's done in His Son. And if you haven't preached that, you have not preached God is true. This is how our preaching of Scripture needs to be, yea, yea, and nay, nay. Nay to anything that is not of Christ. Yea to everything that is of Christ. It's a shameful pride to think that people that come to hear us preach come to hear us. If the Lord's drawn them, they're not coming to hear us. They're coming to hear of Christ. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So we declare Him.
Yes, umenegira ulozire atu wa Yesu.
In verse 19 of Second Corinthians 1 confirms this, right? Notice how it starts. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ. All of that is summed up in Christ. Who is He? The Son of God. Jesus Christ. And he says, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus. So it's not just Paul. Any that the Lord sends forth, if they're God's messengers, this is their message. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And he says, was not yea and nay, but in him, there it is, in Christ, was yea. And here's the connection with what we're seeing in Acts 13. Christ, the fulfillment of all of Scripture. Here it is, verse 20. For all the promises of God. Notice, in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Go ahead.
We'll come back to that one, verse 20.
Okay, verse 20 is the sum of it. For all the promises of God in Him, that is, in Christ, are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. We have no other subject. So anybody preaching that there are still some promises yet to be fulfilled, and they're going around talking about Israel or talking about the church, talking about nations and other things, they have not read the Scriptures aright. It says, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. That's our message, how all things God has fulfilled through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So come back here to Acts 13 and see how this is exactly the pattern we see in Paul's message, because in verse 26, again, he addresses this congregation, calls them men and brethren. He doesn't know who's the Lord's and who isn't. So the word brethren there is in the sense of physical brethren. In other words, Jews just like he is. children of the stock of Abraham. He's talking about physically of the stock of Abraham, but he also adds, and whosoever among you feareth God. Remember last time we saw that that referred to the Gentile proselytes that had come into the synagogue and now were under the teaching of these leaders of the synagogue. But notice, he says, to you is the word of this salvation sent. In other words, if he was there that day preaching not words, but notice, the word of this salvation, then God purposed it. Now, here again, we've got to read the scriptures in their context. As I've heard preachers say, see, he's offering this word of salvation to the Jews one more time. But now, wait a minute. He addressed who? Jews and Greeks. He addressed those of the stock of Abraham, but also whosoever among you feareth God. So even if you're not of a Jewish stock, if you're here to worship God, then is this word of God or salvation sent to you today? In other words, that it might be preached unto you. God never sends his preachers on fool's errands to where they go and there's no purpose. No. Wherever the Lord sends his preacher, it'll either be for the hardening of some or the enlightening of some, the regenerating of some. But either way, God's word never returns unto him void.
Yes.
You see, Ours is not to judge or to endeavor to discern, well, who's the Lord's and who isn't. Ours is merely to preach the word of salvation. And we can say that in front of any audience, that to you today is this word of salvation sent. But that does not assume that everybody's going to receive it, because when we fast forward to the end of this, we see two results. In verse 45, when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So that's one result, but the Lord purposed that. The other is down in verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified, notice, the word of the Lord. They glorified Christ, who is the word of the Lord. And it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You see, all throughout here in this message, as you look forward, when Paul is referring to the Word of God or the Word of the Lord, he is referring to Christ. It's not just the matter, there's preachers that say, well, I preach the Word, really? They go back and open up a passage and they'll talk about character, morality, they'll talk about conversation, conduct, how a person's supposed to live, how they're supposed to believe. It's all about them. But that's not preaching the Word of the Lord or the Word of God. The Word of the Lord, the Word of God, is this Word of salvation accomplished in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Even if you started right now, and every time you preached, you took whatever portion it is, I don't care what verse of Scripture it is, and your only objective was to take that one verse and show how it's fulfilled, that's the word here, fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will die. You will spend a lifetime preaching before you'll ever exhaust the scriptures. Now, when Paul said to you is the word of this salvation sent in verse 26, then the next verses from verse 27 down to verse 33, he shows them how this word of salvation was sent to them. Look at verse 27. He says, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, they knew Christ not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, and he says, which are read every Sabbath day. So these were reading the scriptures, and here was Christ in their midst, and yet they knew him not, and it says, here's the word, fulfill. Even in condemning him, they have fulfilled those scriptures in condemning. There's nothing in the scripture that cannot be said to be fulfilled in Christ, whether it's in how men condemned him or in how they received him. It doesn't matter. God's word is fulfilled. Now look at verse 28. This is an amazing verse. Though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. But keep reading. And when they had fulfilled what? All that was written of him. So these were doing their will and slaying him, but they didn't do one thing more or less than what had already been written of him. They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher.
Hmm. Tumeapo ndipo ndakaestana pese chifungo cha kumtera Yesu Kristo sare pese sino chifungo cha kwanza kumtera. Kuma hali shida jana anatem pabirado kuna kedu. Uma kufuna kwa awo mzikubo kumo za mchima wa awo za mmarubinu awo adalaka laga kuna kedu anga kere sa kutu 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 Jena wana ya mbao. Ama kuna kumupa, njiwoo, wakukuna mbao. Kuna kumupa hako, analiku kwa nini zimele fitele pedo wa zaini. Kuna teo za kuni, zimele mbukwada katikitila mzwa Yesu Kristu, zima kwa nini tibwa mzofu na zaandu, zama mbe mwao. Jena wudisha, mbuka mama ni tita wudisha, ana kwa nini ta, jima na kwa tila, zaini, na mtita kumtengo, na mwika mada. Kuna mzofu onse, ama kwa nini ta, Sizima kauli zokuna za wali, mungu wadati za jika kukuna kwa huko, kula kwa lini sizimene mungu wadati mba, zokuzana ni mwana wadi Yesu.
I've actually heard preachers say, and I'm sure you have as well, that if these Jews had just accepted Jesus as the Messiah, he would not have had to have died. Have you ever heard people preach that?
Yes. Inero kuna nakandi kumfasi lariki, akulari kia chonchi. Nukuri nakesho mwina kumalawi mo,
Paul's preaching here. He's simply showing how Christ's coming, how his doing, how his dying, how his rising again, and his ascension on high was all the fulfillment of Scripture and what was written of him. And that's to be the subject then of our preaching. No matter where, we speak of God's come, Christ coming, doing, dying, rising again, ascending on high, and coming again. And we see this in verses 30 through 33. Verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. Whatever man purposed, they did what God purposed.
Yes.
And this wasn't done in secret. You can see in verse 31, he was seen many days. Not just, oh, I think I saw him here, I think I saw him there. No, many days of them, notice, which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. We're not left to speculate whether this is so or not. There were many witnesses, not everybody, but those to whom Christ was pleased to reveal himself, and that's how it is today. Those testifying of him are those in whom God has been pleased to reveal his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Ai alexa kwa mbanga ndapoyera kuti anthu zvidziwike kuti mbonokhazikike kodi makatete wana kuti ndipo anaoneke kana masiku ambiri dzatiri tsiku rimodzi munyamo kumaka mwamba kana wasawa ai anaoneke kana masiku ambiri ndiwo amene anamperekeza iye kuchokera ku Yerusalemu kuchokera ku Galilea amenewo ndiwo akumuchitira umboni tsopano kwa anthu 그렇다고지 수다가 우리가 관 포체바 아르네가 관 관비 고만 관비요 시온자이 고노 카와 메나다 프레나와다 보네 마브네 국가 조다 갈데 나노 예루살레 안 부처가 이제 아메레 오자메라데 캄보니 자예소 크리스토 그치비 자부리 우모자 아메레 김보니 오리 크라예소 크리스토 사지 콘세 아이 고마오 카오 송키도 아메레 마오부 아부부가 디포레게라 토리오 아메레 아마리 자예소.
Now remember I said to you there's two key words, promise and fulfillment. And that's what we see here in verses 32 and 33. And we declare unto you glad tidings, that's the gospel, how that the promise, notice, not even the promises, because all of the promises are in Christ, yea and amen, so that the promise which was made unto the fathers, notice, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now there are those, I'm sure you have them there like here, that go door to door, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. And they like to use this psalm in Psalm 2, where it says, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. They like to say, well, you see there, he was created. But look at the context. How does God's word interpret that statement? It's not about him being created. It's about him being raised from the dead. This day have I begotten, in the sense of raised you up again, according to the promise, that if he came and died and laid down his life, and God was satisfied on behalf of that people for whom he died, God would raise him again from the dead. And the proof that God is satisfied is that he raised his son from the dead. Well, I want to stop there for now. Next time we'll pick up here with verse 34 and see the effects of Christ's death. He is the fulfillment of all of Scripture, but what exactly did he accomplish? We'll look at that next time.
Kuri ada kwani sio motani Yesu Kristo ada kwani sio motani malembao ndiye kwalelo tisiana na pamenepo.